winded up and played on a Sony Walkman. You had to be cool to get Sony Walkman. And you know, there was a number of corporations that I could point to demonstrate that they were once thriving, vibrant market leaders, but have now become dinosaurs that people point to from time to time in fits of nostalgia. Do you remember Woolworths? Some of us older ones will remember Woolworths. If you wanted anything, you went to Woolworths. From a pin to an elephant, you could get at Woolworths, no problem. A little bit nearer the current time, Debenhams. One of the big high street shops, Debenhams, disappeared. And the House of Fraser, do you remember the House of Fraser? Which was really a rival to John Lewis on the high street. But relevant market leaders at one time, but no longer in existence. And you know, churches are no different. Churches are no different. And if we look at the landscape in any of our towns, any of our areas, we will see what I'm going to call church dinosaurs. Sad, empty buildings. Maybe that's a bit harsh, but I think you know what I'm getting at. If you walk down any of our town streets, it's not long before you come across a beautiful old church that's seen better days. There's wooden shutters now on the windows where once beautiful stained glass shone in the summer sunshine. You'll see stairs leading up to the entrance hall of these places. Giant doors overrun with weeds. And there may be a marble plaque with faded inscription which reads something like, "This stone was laid by the President of the Baptist Union, 20th of June, 1903, dedicated to the glory of God." And when you see that and when you read that, you can't help but think of the many significant moments and memories that have taken place within those walls. Those walls of a once busy church. You envisage a group of committed individuals determined to create something sacred and beautiful. And you begin to imagine the sacrifice that they would have made to see that dream fulfilled. They would have hosted baptisms, weddings, funerals. The building would at one time have been the centre of life, pulsing with life of that town. But then what happened? What happened? At what point did this church cease being the core to the rhythms and cycles of this town's residents? Why did it cease to be the centre and why? Well, there may be many reasons. Was it a change in community values or in the community's DNA? Was there a clerical leadership scandal that caused the church membership to scatter? Did the local economy fall on hard times? Or just the congregation, did it just grow old and eventually died out? But whatever the cause, the result is clear. Somewhere along the line, this little church had failed to keep pace with the world around it, a predicament in which they were far from alone. It was happening elsewhere. You know, those of us of a certain age sometimes are breathless when we see the rate of change that's taking place. We live in changing times and the speed of change quickens. We're experiencing an unprecedented convergence of economic, social, technological and geopolitical shifts that are widespread, that they're rapid and they're fundamental. We seem to be at a point in history where we can no longer predict the future by looking at the past. You know, and as we recognise these shifts in the social landscape, we can't, if we're at all got an inquisitive mind, ask why. What questions do we need to ask? Why is these things happening? Why is there? I suppose those questions fall into how, why, and what. How and why? How, why, and what? How does the journey from prominence to obsolescence unfold? Are there patterns that we can discern? Are there cycles that organisations and leaders ignore at their perils? Can we spot those things? Why has such disproportionately large numbers of companies, institutions or brands fade from the scene in recent years? What separates those from who endure from the endangered? What separates them? What can we learn from those who are prevailing and even prospering in this time of disoriented change? You see, whether you're a leader in the church or a leader in business, it seems to me that these are the right questions to be asking and answering. But perhaps you're not a leader in the church or in business. Just someone with a heart for seeing lives change as more and more people encounter Jesus for themselves. Still need to ask those questions. Ask those questions of the church generally. Ask those questions of your church in particular. Check it out. So how relevant is your church? How relevant is Sandy Baptist Church? Because I'm here this morning. Well, I don't have all the answers. I just have some things that I suppose the Lord gives to me. But somehow it's about making the church relevant. Shifting the focus from what's called an attractional model, expecting people to come to you, to a missional model that actively engages the felt needs of the local community. And I keep coming back to your thing, showing the love of God. Showing the love of God. Not expecting people to come to receive it, but showing it. Meeting the felt needs of the local community. And how do we do that? Well, again, I don't have all the answers. But it seems reasonable to me that this involves, amongst other things, modernising communications. Now, for an oldie, this frightens me, but it's happening. Just in recent days, I've been told some of the things that you're doing in Sandy Baptist, which is really exciting. Really exciting. You've got a YouTube channel now with videos on, and so people from outside can see what you're like. They don't have to come through the doors, they can see what you're like. Do I want to be part of that church? Yeah, that sounds to be a church I want to be part of. Modernising communications. Offering multiple access points to the church and spiritual life. That you can encounter Jesus not just by coming through the doors of a church, but because our lives are spent outside being Christ in the world. Empowering members to live out their faith in everyday life. Now all these are wonderful concepts. Wonderful concepts. But what does it look like on the ground? What does it look like? How do we collectively, what are proven and actionable strategies to help connect any church more deeply with the modern world? Well, again, I don't have all the answers. But right up there, at the top of any list of things that we could do, Do we address the felt needs of our communities? The felt needs of our communities. Do we base our outreach and events and sermon series on the actual daily struggles that occur in our lives and in the lives of our communities? What have we got to say about those who suffer from mental health problems, financial stress, loneliness? You see, we shouldn't assume that people will immediately connect with heavy theological jargon. It's been my experience that people switch off when they hear deep theological jargon. You can do that later. You can become a biblical expert later. But first we need to meet people's needs. And again, for an oldie, this is something that frightens me, but it's necessary. Prioritise digital engagement, and I know that you're doing that. I know that you're doing that here. You know, you've got some wonderful expertise in your congregation. Don't ignore it. Ensure your church has strong, a welcoming digital front door, a digital front door that's attractive and it's up to date. You know, I look at some churches' websites and some of them are great and some of them are not so great. There's one I was looking for recently and it wasn't user friendly at all. In fact, I could not find the simple thing of what is the address of this church and what time is the service. They had got involved in all sorts of social activities, but they'd missed something, you know. So, digital front door, attractive and up to date. Somebody who has responsibility for that. Somebody who keeps it up to date. Somebody who can check that things are there. What time does the church meet for services? So, what we got so far: address felt needs, prioritize digital. Front door. Offer low pressure access points. What I mean by that, create hands off events designed specifically for the unchurched people. This can include community barbecues, neighbourhood cleanups, or family fun days that take place off church property. It doesn't have to be doing church property. I know a church that for about 5 years now runs what's called the Big Questions, and they run that at Costa Coffee. They've arranged with their local Costa Coffee group, and it's really well attended by people who have never been inside a church. But they're hearing the gospel in one way or another. It's less threatening to go to Costa Coffee for some people than it is to come into a church where they don't know what's going to happen to them. But off hands, what's called hands-off events, where we simply mingle, build relationships, and serve our communities without the pressure of a traditional service. Getting away from the one-size-fits-all service as well. You know, that we have children, have teenagers, young adults, older adults, elderly. Well, one size doesn't fit all. Do we attempt to coordinate that and meet the needs right across the age spectrum? Intergenerational programming. And we mustn't, of course, forget where we work, the importance of everyday workplace. Do we really, as a church, equip our congregations to see their daily work as their mission field? Do we do that? Not just as a mission field, but as their primary mission field. Do we do that? Do we encourage people to share their faith naturally through authentic relationships. Do we take time as churches to really research our areas? Find out what the demographic makeup is? Find out what the needs are? Do we even know that within our churches? Do we know what the age groups are in within our churches? How do we address them? What are the biggest social or economic challenges in your local area, in any church's local area? And do we build our missions around them? That's just some of the stuff that I'm thinking of. You with your collective heads would come up with other things. So let me leave you with the thought. Don't assume that once relevant means always relevant. Don't assume that once relevant means always relevant. Another way of putting that, I suppose, is don't rest on your laurels. Don't rest on your laurels. And for leaders, do you review regularly the strategies and missions that you've embarked upon, that you've invested money on? Do you review them regularly and ask questions, are they still relevant? Are they still relevant? God wants to build his church here. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, you want to build your church, Lord. And in your wisdom, you build it through your people. We're humbled by that, but we're also grateful. And if we want to be meaningful in the building of your kingdom, Lord, then grant us every good gift that we need to be just that. Grant us every good gift as individuals. Grant us every good gift corporately, so that we might build your kingdom. We might see you glorified, and we might see our lives fulfilled. And we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's just take a moment. Some things will have stuck with you and some things will not have stuck with you, but just think about the things that have stuck with you and ask you the Lord just to bless you through it. Lord, we pray. It's my great privilege, because I come to you on the first Sunday of each month, which happens to be one of your communion days. It's my great privilege to take communion with you. Let us just prepare our hearts. Please just stay seated while we're going to... this is a lovely meditative introduction to all that's revealed here in his table. I've heard this before, I've played this before. It's just simply called the Table of Grace. It sums up in a very beautiful way just what communion is about and what we're about when we come to it.